Welcome to another Astros podcast.
Welcome back. Robert Ford joined by Astros manager A.J. Hinch. Astros picking up a win to salvage that series with the Yankees. And I mean, you can look at that homestand and say, oh, well, the Astros didn't finish it strong, dropping that series to the Yankees. But 4-2 homestand, got to be pretty pleased overall.
Yeah, I'll take it. And I know it's always easy to have recent memory, and I'm disappointed we lost the series. I'm not disappointed in our homestand. 4-2 will get us right where we need to be if we continue to make progress like that. You try to win series, sometimes you can't. We did salvage the third game of the series against the Yankees after a tough loss and come out of it with a winning homestand. Winning homestand, winning road trips, and I'll be happy.
Lance McCullers was electric again, a second straight double-figure strikeout game, and you know, had 91 pitches through six innings, was pitching well, had thrown 117 pitches to start before. Was the thought not to send him back out for the seventh because of what he had done the start before?
Yeah, trying to be proactive with his season and knowing he had a short leash going into the seventh inning, or I've got a fresh Ken Giles, Luke Gregerson, and Will Harris. And so that dilemma is never easy when you want to leave your pitchers in as long as you can. The previous workload definitely impacted our plan going into the game. I wanted to keep him in the low to mid-90s. We still have a young developing arm that we're trying to nurture along the season. And given that I couldn't promise that he could get through the next inning in its entirety, I thought it was unfair to have him start the inning, leave with maybe a runner or two on, or get extended too far into the 110-pitch, 115-pitch again.
How good was it to see Colby Rasmus break out of his 0-for-29 with that big two-run homer?
Yeah, it's nice. You know, obviously he was in like a 2-for-40, you know, slump, and those are difficult mentally, just as they are physically. And all guys want to contribute. He's a guy who's worked hard to try to find his slot with his arms and his hands, and getting nothing to show for it for a couple weeks is rough on players. So for him to come up big with a big home run, shake some hands in the dugout, feel like he contributed, is a good step forward.
Have a couple of guys dealing with hamstring injuries. Luis Valbuena going on the disabled list today with his hamstring injury. Carlos Gomez day-to-day with his hamstring injury. Just give us a status report on both of those guys.
Yeah, they're both hamstring issues. They're a little different within the hamstring. Gomez is in the belly of the hamstring, the muscle component that we're all familiar with. Valbuena's is a little trickier. It's down closer to his knee where his hamstring starts and his calf finishes. So he was increasingly more uncomfortable. We did some more diagnostic testing for him and realized it's a little bit more significant injury than what his tests were showing when he first got injured. So he needed to go on the DL, give us a good 2 weeks to assess his readiness to potentially come back. Gomez, we feel like, can be tested in the next couple of days with some running. It's your standard operation, hamstring strain that's all muscle and in the middle of his leg. So we'll see how the weekend goes. He may or may not make an appearance this series, but we're crossing our fingers that he's not something more significant.
Meanwhile, Tyler White coming up to replace Valbuena, with Valbuena going on the disabled list, was on the opening day roster, got off to a good start, but really struggled, went down in June. What are you hoping to get from White? How do you plan on using him?
And what we're hoping is at-bats are back to being in the Tyler White at-bats that we got in early April. When he left here, he was a little beaten down by the big leagues, and it's hard when you face failure for the first time in the big leagues, and the quality of pitching digs a hole for you, and he couldn't quite get out of it. So for us, we'd like to have his quality at-bats up. He'll play tonight. He may play throughout the weekend. As with all our guys, the better he plays, the more he'll play. He's got some good at-bat quality. I think he got his confidence back. He had a bunch of home runs, a lot of base hits. So a productive player would mean more playing time.
A.J. Hinch, thanks for joining us.
Got it.
Back with more of Astro Launch right after this.
The following minute of Astros history featuring Larry Durker is brought to you by Minute Maid. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out.
By 2010, it was obvious the Astros needed to rebuild. Things would have to get worse to get better. The first star player from the 2005 World Series team to be traded was Roy Oswalt. The Wizard had a record of 143-88 when he was dealt to the Phillies on this day in that year. In return, the Astros got lefty Jay Happ, shortstop Jonathan Villar, and Anthony Gose, who they immediately traded to the Blue Jays for Brett Wallace. Wallace was to be the first baseman of the Astros' future, which paved the way for the next trade 2 days later. In that one, Lance Berkman went to the Yankees for Mark Melanson and Jimmy Paredes. The next year, the team traded two more popular players, Hunter Pence and Michael Bourne. There was sadness at the time, but at this point, they seem like pretty good deals.
Thanks, Dirk. Minute Maid believes that whether it's families or juice, when you put good in, you get good out. That's why you can count on Minute Maid to deliver delicious, refreshing goodness in every sip. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out.
Welcome back to Astro Launch, everybody. This is Steve Sparks, and I have the radio broadcaster for the Detroit Tigers, longtime broadcaster, former player, 1968 world champion with the Detroit Tigers, former catcher, Jim Price. And Jim, first of all, thanks for joining us, and let's catch up on this Tigers team. You guys are playing pretty well.
Well, we had a great three games in Boston. Always tough to win there. We had left Chicago. We didn't do too good in Chicago, but the team looked different, led by really good starting pitching, and that's really key, as you know.
Well, how about the hitting? The hitting's always there for this Tigers team. Miguel Cabrera's been heating up the last five or six games. He looks like he's on top of it again.
Yeah, he's Miguel. He'll go down as one of the top five hitters of all time, no question about it. Yeah. But, you know, what they're doing, really in Boston, they had key hits. Like, Iglesias joined in. He's swinging a lot better. Even McCann hit a long home run. Everybody kind of joined in. And, of course, our leadoff hitter, Ian Kinsler, I love him. I call him every day Ian, but today it's a night game, so it's every night Ian. But this team's, they're built to score runs, and they haven't been scoring a lot, been scoring enough.
You mentioned Ian Kinsler. I wanted to talk about that because in this series, we're going to see a couple of the best second basemen in all of baseball with Altuve and Kinsler. And Kinsler, like you said, he shows up every day. He does great offensively, defensively. He's a stalwart. When you've had a chance to see Jose Altuve, what's your impressions?
He's magnificent. I mean, first of all, I don't even think about size. Don't even think about size at all. I love the way he attacks the ball.
Yeah.
As a leadoff hitter, he attacks the ball. He can do everything. There's nothing he can't do. And to watch him, especially when he's on first base next to Miguel Cabrera, they're two good friends. But you look at the size different. You know, now there's two great players, and you can play this game no matter what size you are. But, you know, he's a hard-nosed player, and I love players like that. He always a throwback in my mind.
Jim, for years and years, it's been the bullpen. It's been a big issue with this team. Yeah. How's the bullpen for the Tigers look right now?
Well, first of all, our closer's been good. K-Rod's been very, very good. You know, there's a couple hiccups like every closer's had. That's just the way it is. But he's getting round and out. We have like Wilson, Alex Wilson, and Justin Wilson. Both of them done good. But Justin Wilson, the left-hander, has been fantastic. Also Green. We put Green in the bullpen. He has done great also. Yep. Power arm with movement, which anybody would love. And that's really, when you talk about the tail end of our bullpen, I think it's very good.
Okay, Matt Boyd, left-handed pitcher pitching tonight, got off to a slow start this year, went down to Toledo in AAA, ironed some things out last three games, looks pretty good.
Yeah, you know, he's a nice arsenal. If you'd say, what's his main pitch? I would say his whole arsenal, because he mixes up his pitch. Fastball, he'll touch 93 with the fastball and move it in and out. He'll throw the curveball, which is a real good pitch for him, and the changeup also. But it's basically four pitches, you know, the normal pitches. But the more he pitches inside the right-handers, the more success he has had. And he's a battler. I mean, he's got to use all of his pitches and have the command.
Last thing with Jim Price, former Tiger catcher with the trade deadline coming up. In your eyes, what are you thinking that the Tigers need to put him over the hump?
I think they're going to kind of stand pat. I really do. You know, they have some big-name players with long, big-time contracts.
Yeah.
I would be floored if we did anything. If we did anything, it might be a reliever.
Okay.
I just don't see anything happening at all with this ball club.
Jim Price, thanks for catching up, and good luck the rest of the way.
Sparky, one of my heroes, buddy. Always good to see you.
Robert Ford, Steve Sparks, on your radio, the Houston Astros Radio Network.